Thank you, Dave and Becky. As we begin, I've asked some of our young people to come up and like to have them read the wonderful Christmas story from Luke 2. And so I'll ask those ladies to come up at this time, Lily, Rachel, Kylie, Kiana, Sadie, and Abby, if you guys would come. And if you all would like to follow in your Bibles with them, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. So we'll line you up according to, if I could have Lily here, and then Rachel next, Kylie, Kiana, Sadie, and Abby. Okay, and does everybody have a sheet? Or maybe, okay. So let me turn on the mic, and you guys can read from Luke 2.
And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there's no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night.
And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all filled with great fear. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Okay. Thank you guys very much. You can have a seat. Appreciate that. That passage of Scripture, thank you, ladies, so much. It has to be one of my favorites in all of the Bible. This announcement to the shepherds that Jesus is the Messiah, who all the prophets of the Old Testament for centuries had said would come, and now those angels are telling the shepherds, he's here in your little town of Bethlehem, and they got to see the Messiah first. And I love that focus on these shepherds. I don't know if you noticed that all the carols we sang this morning had to do with that very announcement to the shepherds. And this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about shepherds. But to do that, I'm going to need some help. We have junior church today, and so we have some of our young people with us. So what I'd like is kids maybe ages 4 to 12, somewhere around there. If you're close to that, we're not picky. But I'd like to have you guys come up here and give me a little help this morning. I'd love to have you come up if you're around that age, maybe 4 to 12 or somewhere around there. Help me with the story of the shepherds at Christmas time. Yeah, good group. Wow, what a sharp-looking group we have here. Come right on up. Tommy. Kyla. So, Merry Christmas, first of all, to you guys. And I wonder, do you guys ever imagine things? Do you have pretty good imagination? I know some of you guys do, for sure. What I'd like to do is just try to imagine for a little bit this morning. We're going to imagine that we are time travelers, okay? We're not going to go forward in time, though. We're going to go back in time, okay? We're going to go back maybe like 2,000 years, okay? Isaac's prepped to go back in time. We're going to go back. So what I need you to do for just a second is just to close your eyes, okay? No peeking, okay? You got your eyes closed, okay? We're going to go back in time, again, 2,000 years. And it'll take just a moment to, it takes time to go back in time. So, we're, okay, all right, we're almost there, okay, whoops, voila, okay, you can open your eyes, all right, we are back in time, 2,000 years, and you guys are no longer kids living in Michigan, but do you know what you are? You are shepherds. Good-looking shepherds, okay? And we don't live in Michigan. We're not in Michigan right now. We're in a country called Israel. Exactly. And we're really close to a town called Bethlehem. We're just kind of on the outside. And we are in a field. And if you look right up there into the sky, it's not daytime anymore. Sky person? Okay. Wow, what do you see up there? Stars, yeah, the sky. It's nighttime, and we're out in a field, and you guys are shepherds. But I have a very important question. I've got my sheep here, but if you guys are shepherds, where's your sheep? Did you let them go? Where's your sheep? Your sheep are right over here. Yeah, come on up. I want. Well, we'll pretend. Everybody can grab a sheep. One sheep, okay?
Oh, there's tons of them.
Wait, can I pet the big one?
You can pet them. There's a whole flock of sheep. Get your sheep. Okay. Did everybody get a sheep? Okay. What's your shepherds? Okay, so you gotta care for your sheep. Did everybody get one? Okay. Okay. So, I've got a question for you guys. Very good. What do you guys know about sheep? Raise your hand if you know, or shepherds, I'm sorry. We tried that last year and it didn't work, so.
I know that shepherds watch sheep and they were the first people to know about baby Jesus being born.
Amen. Yeah, okay. What else? What do you know about?
They're fluffy.
They're fluffy. Well, the shepherds.
I thought you meant the sheep.
Yeah. How about shepherds? What do you guys know about shepherds? Okay. Yeah, another thing?
They were kind of low in society, like really low.
Yeah, man, you guys are sharp, okay? Shepherds, yeah, what do you know about shepherds?
They normally don't have very much, if any, money, so they sometimes even have to eat the sheep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we are shepherds, and you have your sheep. And some of those shepherds in that time, they did raise those sheep for sacrifice, especially because they were close to the temple. But at this time, they were in the fields, and they were just caring for their sheep. And would you like to be out in a field at night, just out in a field as a shepherd? Would you like that? No? What might you feel like if you were out in the dark in a field watching sheep? Cold, maybe? Yeah, what else? Scared, maybe? Yeah, there might be, like, wild animals, but that's why you're out there, because you got to protect the sheep, right? So we're out in this field, and as we're sitting there, look up in the sky. Tommy, you guys want to look up in the sky and see what we're going to see in just a minute? There it is. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so these shepherds, we're shepherds now, okay? We're in a field. It's just like every other day. You know, sheep, sheep, yeah, sheep. But then, boom, up in the sky. Oh, let's go back. Yep, sorry. There is a bright light. And it fills the sky. The Bible says it's the glory of the Lord shone around. And there was an angel of the Lord, and he appeared. Let me ask you guys, if that happened, if you're out in a field, and all of a sudden it's dark, but then all of a sudden it's blinding light, and an angel of the Lord is there, how would you guys feel? Yeah.
Very, very, very scared.
Okay. What about you guys? Would it be scary? It would be. Because the Bible even says that the shepherds were sore afraid, very afraid. They were totally terrified. And that's why the angel, the very first word he said is, what? What do you think he said to them? Yeah, do not fear. Why? What's it say in the Bible when he said, do not fear? The Bible says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This Christ, this Messiah, he's here. This Savior is here, and he's Christ the Lord. And here's a sign for you guys. He will be wrapped in strips of cloth. Okay? Do you know that they would wrap sometimes the baby sheep to protect them in strips of cloth? And not only that, it said he would be lying in a manger. Who knows what a manger is? Yeah, what is a manger, Tommy? We got two Tommies. Either one, no? Yeah? Dan?
We got two Tommies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying here a feeding trough, a place where animals eat from. Is that normally where you find a baby? Okay, so that's why it was a sign, right? It was a sign to them. You're going to find them wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger, okay? What happens next? Boom, okay? Look up there. Can you imagine this? It says, the Bible uses a word like an army of angels. A multitude, a host of angels appeared around them, and they began praising the Lord. And what were they saying? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Or what it means is, let me look here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And just after they say that, the Bible says they shoot straight up into heaven, okay, so that they know this message came from God, because those angels shot right up back into heaven, and they're like, what have we just heard? This is amazing. And what they do is they hightail it into Bethlehem because they want to see this thing that was announced to them. And what an awesome, true story that we have in Luke chapter 2. And the last question I have for you guys, I need you to put your thinking caps really on for this one, is why do you think that God would send angels to talk to shepherds first and not to the king and not to maybe the religious leaders? Why do the shepherds get to hear first? What do you think? Have any ideas?
Because they were the most likely to believe it, and he wanted to show that he was humble as well as powerful. So,
okay. Well, good answer. Anyone have any other thoughts? Anybody? Okay. Sharp cookies up here. You guys can have a seat. Let's give them a hand. Thank you for your help. And take care of those sheep, all right? Watch over those sheep. You guys did great. Very sharp people. Thank you, my man. You can keep that. That's your sheep. Excuse me for just one moment. Okay. Amazing story. Just to think about it, to put yourself there, to imagine what you would have felt. I just want to talk. I think one of the problems that we could run into is we've heard the Christmas story, and to try to embellish it or build on it or make something complicated out of it, when really it's the simple wonder and awe of the story itself. And I just want to talk about just what we just said. And I think maybe Isaac must have read my notes or something. No. I want to talk about that very thing. Why did the angels appear first to shepherds? And I think the kids nailed it. Lowly. God went to the humble first. And I think there's a truth in that that we need to try to absorb. Because the Bible teaches us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The shepherds, as it's demonstrated in the story, they were willing to listen and to believe. And it's a beautiful thing. The political leaders of the day, when they found out about the birth, they felt threatened. And they wanted to kill Jesus. We know about the story of King Herod and the order pronouncement he makes to have the male children, 2 years old and younger, in the vicinity of Bethlehem, executed. The Old Testament prophesied of that reaction by King Herod. He felt threatened. He was proud. He didn't want people competing with his rule. And then we think about the religious leaders. What about them? What we find out is that either they ignored this man, Jesus, and tried to turn people away from him, or they grew hostile toward him because the Bible tells us later they were actually jealous of Christ and his following. And when Christ grew and became a man and taught, as they became more and more jealous of this man and his following, it was actually the religious leaders that were instrumental in crucifying our Lord Jesus Christ. They were self-righteous. They were proud. They didn't listen to what Jesus said and apply his teaching to their lives personally. The Bible says that as they were seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God through Christ. And the shepherds, though, what was the contrast there? Like the kids said, they're of a lower economic class in first century Israel. They weren't political leaders. They didn't have much in terms of money, possessions. They didn't have much in terms of theological training like the religious leaders. But what they did have was hope that the Messiah would come as God said he would come. And they had faith when God announced to them through the angels that he had come. Hope in God's word and faith in God's word. In Isaiah 66, the Lord says, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." And we see that in the shepherds. The angel had said, like I said before, "Peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased." The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And from that we draw that if we have faith in his word, we please God. And God had said, "Peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased." And so what we see in that pronouncement by the angel is that the Christmas message of peace doesn't bring peace to all people, but only those who humbly receive Christ by faith. These are the ones who find peace with God. Now, that doesn't mean only economically poor people can receive Jesus as Savior. And we know that because in the scriptures, there are some wealthy people who believe. We know that the wealthy Magi, who came from the east and followed the star to see Jesus and give him rich gifts, they come later. And I hate to burst any bubbles, but the Magi aren't there with the shepherds. They aren't the first. The shepherds are first. The Magi come later, maybe some months later, because the Bible says they find him in a house. But the point is, it's not your social status or standing, but where your heart is. A humble person, and I'm not just talking about economically, financially, a humble person in heart, they take what God has said and they believe it, and they don't let pride or self-righteousness or wealth or possessions or any of those things in life stand in the way. And I think it's for those reasons that Jesus said it's harder for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's harder because they have to stoop lower to enter through the low gate of humility that leads to salvation. One of the Christmas carols that we love to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, has a line that says, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Lord enters in. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Lord enters in. And I think we see that in the shepherds. Humility, not just externally, but internally. Humble in spirit and contrite and tremble at the word of God. And I believe that's one reason why the shepherds were the first to see Jesus. But then another reason. Another reason, I believe, is that God just loves shepherds. I believe that. Throughout Scripture, God reveals himself, truth about himself, to shepherds. And we know that going back to Abraham, the shepherd, when God appears to him. And Abraham believed God, and God counted that belief as righteousness. And then we find out later, Moses. What is he doing when God appears to him in the burning bush? He's shepherding a flock of sheep. And God reveals to Moses that he is the great I am, the self-existent one, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who would lead them out of slavery to redemption. And then, what about the shepherd who becomes king? King David. In our text, it says that Bethlehem is called the city of David. And it's no accident that the writer included that because David was the shepherd king. And what's interesting is in the prophecies about this king, this Messiah, that word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the king. In the prophecies about him, it said that this would be a shepherd king. And we talked about this some weeks ago, but he would be a shepherd king from the line of David. Because in Micah 5 it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. He said, in you, Bethlehem, you little town, is going to come the king of Israel, but not just any king, a king from the line of David, yes, but an eternal king, one who had no beginning, he's everlasting, the everlasting king. And then it says in Micah 5, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. And he brings in this shepherding imagery. He will stand as a shepherd and he will feed his flock. And it's a beautiful thing to know that the very Son of God, the image of him as Christ, is that of a shepherd who feeds his flock. And I think about that prophecy, and I love that prophecy that in Bethlehem, the shepherd king would be born. And did you ever consider how incredible it is that hundreds of years before Jesus came, God said that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? And then think about what it took to make that happen. Just think about that. He puts it on the heart of an emperor that all the Roman world would be enrolled in their hometown. And that they would have to go back to their hometown. We remember that Mary and Joseph leave Nazareth to go back to the hometown of Bethlehem to be registered. And God moved at the exact time to put it on the heart of an emperor to call that everybody would be registered, not where they are, but in their hometown, causing everybody to have to travel to get there if they had moved away. And he does that. He moves in the hearts of a king to get little old Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem at the exact right time for Messiah Jesus to be born there. And that tells me that despite everything, all the difficulty that it was for them, all the harassment that they must have faced, all the just complexity of it all, it tells me that through that, even though they couldn't see it, God was in control. God was doing something. He was doing something that would change history forever. And they couldn't see that in the moment, but only looking back on it when they pondered it in their hearts, all that God had done. But God was in control. He's looking down from heaven on them, not as like an outside observer. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, they've got to move while she's like 9 months pregnant. No, not like that. Not as a distant observer, but somebody who's actually intervening lovingly, bringing all of history to his desired outcome. And that's because God himself is a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's in control of even hearts of kings to make sure his lamb arrives where and when he's supposed to. And he protects his lamb. The Messiah is not killed by Herod. He flees to Egypt. We know that story. He's not stoned later in life by the crowds that hated him. Many times he slipped away. But when the moment came, later he was crucified. He was crucified as a sacrifice for us. God allowed that, and Jesus was willing so that he could be our sin sacrifice. The people in Israel understood this concept of a sin sacrifice, of blood being shed on their account. And Jesus came as that lamb to be our sin sacrifice. So God allowed that. It must have pained the heart of God, but God in it had a plan. And God did not leave his lamb in the grave. God raises up his lamb, and that's how Christmas connects to Easter. We must never disconnect Christmas from Easter. He comes, he lives, he dies, he raises again. God the Father raises Jesus, and that is the beautiful story of both Christmas and Easter. And it tells us that the Lamb is alive. God the Father does not forsake his lamb. He does not forsake him forever. He brings him home. And when he brings him home, he gives the lamb a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Because the Father's a good shepherd. He watches over his lamb. And not just his lamb, his son, but the lambs that follow his son, you and I. I just like to think about those shepherds there that night as they're watching their sheep. From their perspective, they're caring for their sheep. But on another level, God the Father, as the good shepherd, is looking down on them. Just as they're looking at their sheep, caring for them at night, in the cold, in the dark, from the wild animals, God the Father is looking at them, caring for them, protecting them, bringing them to a place of understanding. The Good Shepherd watches over us. And you kids, you guys who got those little lambs, when you see those little lambs, I want you to think of God, your Good Shepherd. And you're like that little lamb. And he knows what he's doing in your life. He's caring for you. He's leading you through things, sometimes valleys. But he always has good purposes in where he leads us. And he's caring. And one day, if you trust the shepherd, he will bring you home to be with him forever. And I want you to think about that when you see that lamb. You're that little lamb in the eyes of God, the good shepherd. When God's little lambs cry out to him and they bleed out to him when they're hurt or in pain or don't understand, the good shepherd hears and he moves to help them. And I hope you never forget that. Whether you're a kid or an adult, I hope you never forget the imagery of the good shepherd watching over you. We can trust our good shepherd. At the end of the story, as I close this morning, the shepherds run to see Jesus. They know a lamb when they see a lamb. They saw the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world in that manger. And they believed. And we know that because in verse 16 through 18 of our passage, it says this. They came with haste. Oh, one commentator said that was the original Christmas rush. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, what did they do? they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things in her heart and pondered them. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. The word of God, through angels, they received it, they believed it. The evidence of that was that they went and they followed the instructions of the angels, and then they took what they had heard and they spread it. And there's something in that, you know, because God could have chosen to spread his message of salvation through the mouths of angels. He could have appeared. He could, if he chose, appear right now, right here, as in through an angel to us and give us the message of salvation. But what has God chosen to do? How has God ordained that the message of salvation be spread? Through the mouths of people. And that's what happens. The shepherds, they hear, they believe, and then they make widely known what they had heard and seen and believed. And God chooses to use human instruments to spread the message of joy, of Christmas, of salvation. And it's interesting because I read that in those days, the shepherds was such a low occupation that legally, in those days, they couldn't even be they couldn't even testify in court. They weren't considered a reliable witness in court. And yet, God uses them to testify to the greatest person and the greatest message ever heard, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. God uses the shepherds. And so the question I want to just, two questions I just want to turn back on us as we close this morning. One is, can you humbly receive the message of salvation through faith in Jesus as Savior today? Are you willing to go through the low gate? Just as Jesus left heaven and humbled himself in order to receive his word, in order to receive him by faith, in order to confess our sin and admit that we have sinned against him and put our trust in him and not in our works, but in him. In order to do that, we must come through the low gate, the humble gate. We must trust his word, repent from sin, and believe. And that's how we can be saved, but it takes humility. And then the second thing I would ask you as we turn the word of God back on ourselves, the word of God is a mirror. And when we look at it, we have to look at ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves this question. Am I humble enough to joyfully share the message of salvation with other people? Because no matter how many excuses we make about why we hold it in, it really comes down to pride. But in humility, are you willing to share the message of Jesus that saved you? They made it widely known, the saying which was told them concerning this child. Are you humble enough to tell others of this child who saves your soul? May God give us the grace to do that. Let's bow in prayer. Father, you said that when you sent your Son, he was full of grace and truth, and he gave us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. God, give us the grace. Give those here who have not yet trusted in Jesus the grace to believe. And give us who do believe, Lord, the grace to widely spread that message. Help us, I pray. And with our eyes closed for just a moment, I think I'd be remiss not to at least open an invitation to say, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, today could be the day of your salvation. What it takes is recognizing your sin against God, repenting of that sin, and putting your trust in Jesus and not in anything else to save you. And the Bible says, he who believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not complex, but it takes humility. It takes God's grace to open your eyes and see your need of that. And I wonder, is there anybody here today you see your need? And today you want to put your trust in Jesus. Anybody would say that by raising your hand. Say, today's the day I want to put my trust in Jesus. I'll close this invitation, but God's invitation is open. As he speaks to your heart, don't delay. Put your trust in him if you never have. And oh God, give us the grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.